Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Two huge stories out of Washington with a major impact on Massachusetts today. First, a federal district court judge this week blocked President Obama's 2009 executive order that expanded embryonic stem cell research. We'll get reaction from top Boston scientists in just a moment. But we begin with other big money flowing out of D.C. The Department of Education announced just a few hours ago that Massachusetts is among 10 states and the District of Columbia to win coveted education grants in the Obama administration's Race to the Top Ed Reform competition. The Bay State's $250 million award comes out of the program's $3.4 billion pot. WBUR's Martha Biebinger has been getting reaction to the news, and she joins me now in the studio. Martha, Massachusetts failed to win this money in the first round of the Race to the Top competition, so tell us about what's changed since then.
Well, since then, Meghna, Massachusetts adopted some national standards that the Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, really wanted to see in our application. And he felt like that, on top of a general tightening and clarification and coming together of the many parties that will be responsible for rolling out this initiative, was very important in Massachusetts, not just winning, but being at the top of the list of states that are awarded this time.
Between the first and second round, Massachusetts adopted higher standards and provided great leadership there. And Massachusetts, as you know, has a long history of education reform and has helped to drive the national conversation.
And Duncan did stress that it was very important for him to see the teachers' unions, the principals, the superintendents all coming together to say they supported this application and they wanted to move together ahead on the goals.
I see how Secretary Duncan called it adopting higher standards, but that is still up to debate here
That's
in Massachusetts.
Right, it is.
But what does the award really mean for Massachusetts? Where's the money going to go?
Well, let's just clarify first that the money will not go to restore jobs and other programs that have been cut because many cities and towns are strapped and because the state budget has forced some reduction in spending. But it will be used to help many of the underperforming schools in Massachusetts, particularly those identified through No Child Left Behind for having groups of students that are not meeting the standards, trying to close the achievement gap. That will be the focus of a lot of the spending. But there are also a lot of statewide initiatives that will boost the training of teachers in many districts across the state and improve the evaluation techniques and the collaboration between teachers and principals at the school level.
And this question of evaluation techniques has been contentious before, but are teachers in the state on board with more or different forms of evaluation now?
Well, both teachers' unions supported the proposal. The Massachusetts Teachers Association is a little bit more engaged in where we are right now. And where we are right now is with a task force that will establish what the evaluations will look like. Massachusetts teachers were very it was very important to them that the evaluations did not focus just on MCAS scores. That's been true in some other states, and the unions don't support some of the proposals in other states. Here, it won't just be the test scores. It will also be other things that students do in classes. It will be what the teacher's performance looks like in classes. It will be their evaluations in combination with some of the administrative evaluations.
Well, WBUR reporter Martha Biebinger, thank you so much for this latest update on news today out of Washington that Massachusetts has won $250 million in President Obama's Race to the Top competition. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Meghna.
Well, now on to that other big story connecting Boston to the Beltway, but this one has to do with a block on federal funding. A U.S. District Court judge on Monday granted an injunction against President Obama's 2009 executive order that expanded embryonic stem cell research. The judge ruled that the order violated a law that prohibits the destruction of embryos for research purposes. We're joined now by WBUR's health and science correspondent slash reporter, Sasha Pfeiffer, who's been covering the story. So, Sasha, the initial reaction you've gathered from Boston-based researchers
is a big, gigantic groan. You know,
a groan.
For years, they have been operating under these very severe restrictions under George Bush. Finally, they got lifted last year by Obama. Now they feel like it's a giant step backwards to where they were before and maybe to before where they were before. So they're really sorry this happened.
Okay, so remind us, where were we before?
So in Bush's his first year in office, he put really strict restrictions on what kind of human embryonic stem cell lines could be researched. Basically, if human embryos had to be destroyed, you couldn't use them. Obama came in last year and really lifted those restrictions. He said, okay, we're going to use embryos left over from fertility clinics that people have donated, and if you use those, it's okay to use them for research. But yesterday, a judge said, where he basically put the restrictions back on.
Okay. So what kind of research is actually happening here in Massachusetts right now that uses human embryonic stem cells?
Tons of it. We're an epicenter of stem cell research. The hope is that these embryonic stem cells can become almost any other cell in the body, so they could become insulin-producing and help diabetics. They could help with motor neuron. They could become motor neuron cells and help with people with Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. So the promise is still distant. And the trials are all animal trials at this point, but there's huge hope, and that's why so much money is being poured into this.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier that Massachusetts researchers have long been using both private and federal dollars here, but the federal government is a source of a lot of funding here. So what kind of dollar amounts are we talking about?
So Massachusetts gets the most federal money for medical research per capita in the whole country, second only in pure numbers to California. That meant about $3 billion last year in NIH funding. The general rule of thumb is that medical facilities use about two-thirds federal funding and one-third private funding, so it's a big hit. What's interesting about this is that Boston is such a wealthy area that places like Harvard and Children's have huge amounts of private money. So they're not as ruffled by... Basically, they can go on business as usual just using private money now. Now, they miss the federal money, but they don't have to stall their research because they can't access federal dollars.
So maybe not such a profound impact as other scientists might feel, but still, you know, two-thirds, one-third's pretty good mix.
Absolutely. They don't want to underestimate the impact of losing federal money, but they have the luxury of having lots of private money that they can use to continue their research.
Well, what about the state? I mean, it has its own grants. Massachusetts has some of its own grants for this kind of research. Have you heard if the state's prepared to step in to even make up a little bit of the lost NIH funding?
The researchers hope that they will do that. Now, of course, the state is having budget problems of its own, but the researchers do feel that we're going to have to turn to the state, we're going to have to turn to private philanthropists to try to make up what the federal government can't fund right now.
Well, WBUR's health and science reporter Sasha Pfeiffer, thank you so much for bringing us up to speed on the news on embryonic stem cell research.
You're welcome.
Well, we're joined now on the phone from Washington by Stephen Aden. He's a lawyer for the Alliance Defense Fund. It's a nonprofit legal alliance of Christian attorneys and was also a co-counsel in this case that appeared before a federal district court judge in Washington. Mr. Aden, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Magna. It's my pleasure.
Well, let me just ask you your reaction first to this decision, which essentially it seems as if you won.
Well, we have at this point, Magna. The plaintiffs, our two doctors, Dr. Shirley and Dr. Dreischer, are happy that the judge recognized that the funding violates federal law, as we claimed. And we look forward to the restoration of funding for the safe and proven adult stem cell therapies that they've been working on.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Dr. Shirley. That's Dr. James Shirley. He's a former research scientist at MIT who works on adult stem cell lines, as you mentioned. He claimed that that his research would actually face imminent injury because of the competition for funding with embryonic stem cell research. Can you explain a little bit more about what that particular argument was?
Well, when the Obama administration put the kibosh on funding for adult stem cell research, in essence, in favor of embryonic stem cell research, that put adult stem cell researchers like Dr. Shirley at a decided disadvantage. Essentially, the door had been shut in their faces, even though they had been working on the safe and proven effective therapies for adult stem cell research for a number of years. And that is the injury to Dr. Shirley and Dr. Dreischer's interests that we used to get what we lawyers call standing in court, the right to sue. The appeals court said a few weeks ago that we did have that right to sue, and Judge Lamberth accordingly issued the preliminary injunction yesterday on the actual merits of the case, on the question of whether the stem cell funding guidelines violate federal law, and the court said they do.
Mm-hmm. And the federal law in particular is the Dickey Wicker Amendment from 1996, I believe, that prohibits federal funds from being used on research that involves the destruction of human embryos. So is that really the basis of why you wanted to take this case to court? That it's not so much the funding, but just the use of human embryonic stem cells in general?
Well, Dr. Dreischer and Dr. Shirley believe that using taxpayer dollars to fund embryonic stem cell research is unnecessary and it's unwise as a matter of good stewardship. I mean, most of the results in terms of the clinical trials have come down on the side of adult stem cell therapy. 70-plus clinical trials have been approved for adult stem cell therapies with incredible results. A human trachea regrown, spinal cord injuries regenerating, people walking who could not walk before, as opposed to embryonic stem cells, where there has only been one clinical trial approved for Geron, and that one had to be stopped because it was producing a multiplicity of cysts on the laboratory rats in the study. So, and that was restarted recently, but there have been zero results for embryonic stem cells and 70-plus trials and incredible results for adult stem cells. So our researchers believe that it's bad policy, bad science to be pouring millions of dollars of taxpayer money into what most researchers now acknowledge is a field that's passé. I mean, the researcher that originally discovered these stem cells, the embryonic stem cells, and did a lot of the initial research on them, has now come out and said that the debate is over. Dr. Thompson from Wisconsin says the debate is over, and we might as well close the door on it because the results are in for adult stem cell research.
Mr. Eden, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but many might say the debate has just been renewed by virtue of this case and this decision this week from a district court judge in Washington, D.C. Stephen Eden, lawyer for the Alliance Defense Fund, a nonprofit legal alliance of Christian attorneys and co-counsel in this case. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're now joined by Dr. George Daly. He's director of the Stem Cell Transplantation Program at Children's Hospital in Boston. Dr. Daly joins us from the studios of Maine Public Broadcasting Network. Dr. Daly, thank you so much for being with us today on Radio Boston.
It's good to be here.
Well, you heard what Stephen Eden from the Alliance Defense Fund had to say about the debate being over regarding human embryonic stem cell research. Let me just get you to react to what you heard him say about that. I mean, do you think the debate's over?
No, the debate certainly isn't over, and it's good to be able to have the opportunity to correct the misinformation that was just spewed over the last several minutes. The fact is that adult stem cell research has been going on for 50 years. We have very helpful and curative therapies based on blood stem cells and a few other approaches, many of which remain experimental, for other kinds of stem cells, like mesenchymal stem cells. But the fact is that we have many, many diseases that have not been cured. I mean, if penicillin cured all infections, we wouldn't need to be developing new antibiotics. But I think people realize that's patently absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Adult stem cells do not cure all ills. They cure a very narrow swath of conditions, primarily related to the blood. And so those patients who are suffering from Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, diabetes, a whole host of conditions, are looking for new opportunities. And other kinds of stem cells offer new promise. That's part of the reason why the scientific community is, in fact, energized. It's not a matter of the debate being over. In fact, this new ruling is throwing the debate back into the public limelight, where it will hopefully be ultimately decided by a new act of Congress.
You know, Dr. Daly, we heard just a few minutes ago from WBUR's health and science reporter Sasha Pfeiffer saying that many scientists feel like they've been sort of dragged back in time because of this ruling. And Stephen Eden had mentioned, he claims that some 70 trials have been approved for adult stem cell research, stem cell-based research, and hardly any for embryonic stem cells. I wonder if that's because, in part, for the better part of a decade, there were embryonic stem cell research was so limited in the United States.
Well, embryonic stem cells are new. They've been around for 12 years. Adult stem cells in all their many varieties have been around for 5 decades. So it's not surprising that given that kind of head start, there will be more clinical use of adult stem cells. There's also been tremendous opposition. Imagine how difficult it's been without the involvement of the federal government, which is the lifeblood of most basic biomedical research and is the reason why we enjoy the healthcare system that we have in the United States. That's been on the sidelines in embryonic stem cells. And yet, despite that, the research has gone forward. Intrepid and dedicated scientists have found ways around the restrictions because the science is so exciting and it is so promising. And so if you talk to the foundations that are supported by patients and their families, those disease foundations, they are stepping in and attempting to make up the slack. But the federal government is the big supporter here. It is the reason why we are the envy of the world in medical research, one of the few areas that we are still dominant in, and I think we should be protecting it.
Well, at Children's Hospital, at the stem cell transplantation program that you run there, you work with both embryonic stem cells and adult stem cells. So what does this ban on federal funding mean for your labs tomorrow?
Well, absolutely. So at Children's Hospital, we have a very successful stem cell transplantation program where we treat about 80 kids a year who have otherwise fatal diseases like leukemia or sickle cell anemia or immune deficiency. And we can cure them today, at least in at least half the cases, with adult stem cells. But for those kids we can't cure, and for the many, many range of diseases like diabetes and spinal cord injury, for which the current adult therapies don't work, we're looking toward the future. And embryonic stem cells and induced pluripotent alternative stem cells, these are all being pursued with equal vigor in our own labs. Now, this injunction today means that I have to go back to the lab, tell everyone who's working with embryonic stem cells that they've got to regenerate all of their supplies and their materials and their broth for feeding the cells, and we've got to be certain that all of that has been purchased with private money. This is not only distracting, but it's ultimately going to lead to less research and slower progress towards those cures that we're all seeking.
Do you have adequate sources of private money to continue the research that you're doing at the current pace that you did with the help of federal funding as well?
Well, I'm an investigator of the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, so I enjoy support from the Howard Hughes Foundation, from other foundations. Children's Hospital sees this area as enormously valuable and have dedicated support to it. So I am in a privileged position. My laboratory will be able to, at least in the short term, continue the research, although it will become more cumbersome and more expensive to do so. We've switched about half of our research over to federally funded projects, and that's all going to have to be reevaluated. Some of that research will be stopped. Some of it may involve individuals who were hired under the new stimulus package, and we have to determine whether there are salaries for those individuals. This is going to have a significant impact and an unfortunate one.
Dr. Daly, let me ask you, I mean, the Obama administration's executive order essentially expanded the number of lines of embryonic stem cells that were available to researchers. But on the other hand, I mean, if I understand correctly, there may be some new techniques to create embryonic stem cells without even using, extant human embryos. So if that's the case, then is this ban really such a big deal?
Yeah, well, you raise this new type of stem cell called an induced pluripotent stem cell. Our laboratory was one of the first three worldwide to actually produce these from human cells. It's very exciting. This is an alternative strategy for making from adult skin or adult blood a cell that has many of the features of the embryonic stem cells. Now, I say many of the features because we're still learning about these cells, and the way we compare them is to use the gold standard of human embryonic stem cells. So the research still depends on the use of embryonic stem cells and is founded upon that. Now, it may be that these cells can one day serve many of the needs that we're currently looking to embryonic stem cells for. But today, we can't say for certain. There are hints that this new type of stem cell may be more genetically unstable than the traditional embryo-derived stem cells. We are learning more and more as we go. I think most scientists working in the area would in no way want to close the door on something as exciting as embryonic stem cells, something that remains the gold standard. We all argue not that adult stem cells are in competition with embryonic stem cells, far from it. These are cooperative and synergistic areas of research that we in my lab continue to pursue with equal vigor.
And let me just ask you finally, Dr. Daly, Massachusetts, as you mentioned, is such a potent area for research on stem cells. I mean, can you just walk us through briefly some of the exciting findings or the cutting edge that is actually going on here with this research?
Absolutely. I mean, we are we have a remarkable community of scientists at Harvard and MIT. The Harvard Stem Cell Institute has one of the greatest concentrations of stem cell biologists on Earth. And with support from the Mass Life Sciences Project, the billion-dollar healthcare investment that Governor Patrick made, we now have established a stem cell bank at UMass, which is going to be the envy of the world. We're working in areas of diabetes, Lou Gehrig's disease, the development of skin from stem cells, the study of blood diseases from stem cells. I think Massachusetts, more than many states, because of its leadership in the stem cell area, is going to stand to lose the most from this injunction.
Dr. George Daly, director of the Stem Cell Transplantation Program at Children's Hospital, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, coming up, Lyme disease in Massachusetts. It used to just be the scourge of the Cape, but now it may be in your own backyard. We'll find out why. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.